Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go! And welcome, guys, to another episode of the Irish Photography Podcast. I'm joined with my two co-hosts, as always, John Myler from County Clare. Jeez, I nearly said County Tipperary. How are you, John? How are you keeping?
Good. All good here, Dad. Thanks very much. A Dublin man living in County Clare, that's what you could say.
Yeah, we know that from around four or five episodes. There's no point in keep repeating it.
And who is that? Some guy from County Cork, I would say. That is Mr. Darren Spoonley. How are you, buddy?
Great. How are things?
Good. I'm actually really busy now the last couple of weeks, so weddings are actually getting the better of me. So it's all down to editing. But look, we won't get bogged down with that. But it is a bit of a segue for one of our today's topics, guys. Today, our first topic, we're going to talk about Adobe Lightroom. Okay, some people love Lightroom, some people hate it. Me, in particular, I love using it. It's something that I really depend on as a professional, air quotes, kind of. But I use it almost every day. Lightroom is a DAM, so that's a digital asset management system, which I use notoriously all the time because I needed to categorize everything that I shoot, whether it's down to landscapes, weddings, scuba diving, portraits, and so on and so forth. But what I just wanted to get better insight to Lightroom and what the benefits are and what are the negative points of Lightroom. And John, I'd like to go with you first and see what you think of it.
Of Lightroom itself? Well, I suppose quite simple with me now, Dad, is the fact that when I got into my photography, I suppose, from the next level, a number of years ago, the first bit of software that I went into was Lightroom. So I actually kind of knew no difference, to tell you the truth, between Lightroom and Photoshop, because I've always been in Lightroom. Absolutely love it. My workflow was a lot easier. Mind you, I do predominantly do landscape imaging and landscape editing in Lightroom. Having said that, lately, in the last few months, I have dipped my nose in Photoshop, right? And I actually do see the benefits and how powerful Photoshop can be. Why am I not using it? Simply, I haven't had the time or the commitment to put into learning how to use Photoshop. I think for me to learn how to use Photoshop, I need to do a whole, probably a little course on it to kind of get myself going on it. So to answer your question, do I like Lightroom? Yes, I love Lightroom, love using it, love all the features in it. Do I use all the features? No. Have I ever made a book in it? No. Do I ever use the map? No. Slideshow? Rarely. Do I print from it? I do. I don't use the web base. So ultimately within Lightroom, I just use the library and the develop module.
That's very interesting, John. Now, the fact that you print from it. Me personally, I have never printed. I always outsource my printing locally to printers. How is your experience with the whole printing module side of things?
Yeah, now when I say printing it, Dad, I print it for myself. If I was to print an image, I'd print it for myself.
Oh, sorry.
If I was printing an image for a customer, I would outsource it to a more professional lab. And I'd be using different papers and so on, depending on the type of image I have. But yeah, I have tried printing it via Lightroom and also printing the same image from my, just my desktop, I suppose, from the file itself. And I do find a difference in the quality. I get a better quality image when I'm printing from Lightroom. Maybe somebody listening in can tell me why, or maybe you guys might know why. So I actually never print the file on its own. I never open the file and print it. I will always print through Lightroom.
That's very interesting, though.
Only, but like I said, only for myself, not for my clients.
Yeah. And Darren, how do you feel about Lightroom from a different kind of hobbyist kind of point of view?
Okay, very simple for me. Before I really kind of got into regular taking photos and editing and stuff like that, I would have used different software. I would have gotten a Canon. I can't remember what it was called at the time. Then I came across looking at Adobe products, and I looked at Lightroom, and I said, okay, that seems to be what they're using. So I said, I'd give it a go. I always knew that there was Photoshop, but to be honest with you, Photoshop scared me. Lightroom is perfect for me. It's a very, very robust tool. It rarely has an issue. I use it, again, similar to you guys, from a catalog point of view. It stores all of my images. I can go back, I can find my images whenever I want to. But the biggest thing for me with Lightroom is there's less buttons. And what I mean by that is, you know, I want to be able to do something from a landscape point of view. All I want to do in reality is adjust the highlights, bring up the shadows, maybe add a small bit of contrast, bit of clarity. That's it. Where it does fall down for me is if there's something in the image that I want to remove. So the spot removal tool is what it's called in Lightroom is okay. It's not the greatest. If you've got anything complex, you're in trouble. So I have to go into, unfortunately, into Photoshop to enable me to use the clone stamp there. And to be honest, that's all I know how to use in Photoshop. I've no interest in learning anymore. I don't want to manipulate any images. I take the shot, it's landscape. I want to bring it from raw to a finished image. It's very simple for me. And something I've actually done, and I saw interesting results actually from it. John, you mentioned there that you print from Lightroom and you get better results than printing from your desktop.
Yeah.
I can tell you just simply why is because the file that you're working with in Lightroom is a better file than the export to JPEG. So that's why there's a lot more detail that's there, and it's processing that directly from the host being Lightroom as opposed to a finished exported image, which is going to be compressed. It's not going to be the same as you'd look at it in Lightroom. So in a nutshell, for me, Lightroom is more than enough from a landscape point of view. I have no interest whatsoever in manipulating images or, you know, whatever it may be. The only thing I would say to you is show me something that, you know, you can't do from a landscape point of view in Lightroom that you have to have something else for.
So you're asking basically, like, can you transfer a sky in Lightroom?
Yeah.
So like, you can't, it's beyond my knowledge. I genuinely don't think you can.
Me too.
I'm almost 99% sure you cannot transfer a sky in Lightroom. You can manipulate it in some way, like bring down a gradient filter and bring down the exposure and do other few bits and bobs, but you cannot transfer a sky. But I could be proven wrong, but like I said, I'm 99% sure that you cannot. So, Darren, from you're more of a realist of a photographer rather than a manipulator, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, I could see why Lightroom would suit you far more than someone who's into more of a fantasy world or someone who's going to be have a heavy hand at editing. And there is loads of photographers out there that will do that, and that's quite fine. There's nothing wrong with it, because at the end of the day, photography is an art, correct?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So, like, the speed of Lightroom T, is that acceptable, or would you like to see it get faster, or does it even bother you in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I suppose for me, I actually find it's kind of slowed up a little bit than it was, but I don't know if that's down to my own doings here, my own iMac, whether it's memory based or like that. I have found it has slowed down. Has it slowed down to really annoy me and stop me from jumping on editing an image? No, not at all. I'd be very, very picky in saying if it's slow down. But going back to what you said, Darren, there about Photoshop and Lightroom, I would 90% of the time go into Photoshop to remove an object that was distracting in my image. And when I'm composing an image or taking that initial shot at the back of the camera, I might see the image. I know the object is there, but I also know at the time I will remove it. And by removing that, 100% will be in Photoshop. I do think, as you touched on, being art, Dodd, 100%, I think photography is a form of art. And I think some of the stuff I see in social media, up there that is artistic is absolutely phenomenal to me. I love it, and I wish at some day, and I will, be able to create a piece of art like that. Absolutely would. What I don't like is, you're talking about Sky's being changed. I know it's a different podcast. I don't like being told, I don't like looking at an image and being led to believe that that was a scene edited in Lightroom, when you hear afterwards maybe that the sky was in Iceland. The land was in Kerry, okay? To me, that's not a real photograph, and it's a kind of, you're kind of fooling the viewer. So, but that's the powers of Photoshop, the things you can do, and it's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. I'd love to be there at some stage. I'd love to get that fantasy image, as you said, at some stage, but for now it's Lightroom and remove the objects in Photoshop.
I think, the whole fantasy thing, I'd done it once or twice, and that's just messing around when I was waiting for Final Cut Pro to finish rendering something. And I went overboard on purpose, just for a few giggles, you know. But just moving on to the kind of next part of this topic, guys, is dealing with Lightroom for me as a wedding photographer, it can, like I said, it can be brilliant, but at times it can be frustrating as well when it gets bogged down by the speed of things. And that's one thing that a lot of people be crying out for with Lightroom, saying they need to speed up things, and they are starting to make a bit of progress. And I have a few kind of tips here that that might help a few of our listeners to help out, maybe speed up their process or processor and the speed of Lightroom. First of all, it'd be the catalogs. Adobe Lightroom will say that it doesn't matter how big the catalog is, you could have 2 million photographs in it and it'll still work just as good as the catalog that's fresh as yesterday. But that is untrue. So the smaller your catalogs, the faster that they will run. Now, in saying that, now I've often had photographs or catalogs with 50,000, 60,000 photographs, and it worked just fine. It's quite fine. But there is other things that will help you get these things down as well. One of the things would be if you turn off facial recognition, and that's very simply done by going into your catalog settings. Up at the top by the Apple logo. I don't know what it is in Windows now, guys, so you'll have to bear with me. So you go up to your catalog settings, then click the metadata, and then it's the third box down. You'll see a box, and you'll just click facial recognition, turn it off. That'll help. That means it's not doing a background thing on all the photographs all the time.
Is that set on by default?
Lightroom, I don't know if it's set on by default, but I just got a new Mac last week and it was on, so I had to turn it off. It wasn't on my other Mac, so that's something that you might look at. It's something to do. Now, with Lightroom, you really do need a minimum. I genuinely think a minimum of 16 gigs of RAM. Now, Adobe will say that they recommend 12 gigs RAM, but to get it running smoothly, you do need 16 gigs RAM. Now, John, I know you're running 8 gigs, so don't worry. I have your back. I have some RAM here for you, and I will get it out to you.
Yeah.
Get you up. And now, cool. Darren, I know you're running 32 gigs RAM, so the speed of yours will obviously be much, much faster than John would. So if you can upgrade it.
I tell you, I had a couple of times there where I found Lightroom was extremely slow. And there was a couple of issues that I would have had, particularly if I was bringing out the spot removal tool, where it would lag. And there was an issue there in regards to that. And also as well, something that I did, and I think it was you actually that fixed it, was when Lightroom came out with this other version. So you've got Lightroom, and then you've got Lightroom on the cloud. And for some reason, I automatically went on to Lightroom on the cloud, even though I wasn't using Lightroom before that. And now I'm having to wait for latency and everything else as well from an online point of view, as opposed to working locally on my machine. And I think that's something as well, potentially, that not a lot of people know. You know, because if you've come from the original Lightroom and now it moved to Lightroom on the cloud, and to be honest with you, it really was annoying for me, because I take a picture on my phone and it would appear in all of my photos on the bottom. And I'd kind of looking, going, this is a picture on my phone. What the hell is it doing in my computer, you know? And it was exactly because it was all got to do with this cloud and this sinking and this pain in the backside, to be honest with you. So I was delighted to be able to go to Lightroom Classic, and immediately I had absolutely no lag whatsoever. And everything that I thought, I'm supposed to be this, or it's supposed to be this slow, is gone. So that could be an aspect of it as well, you know?
Yeah, and you're not the only person, Darren. I've had to help out a few other people also.
So maybe from our listeners' point of view as well, you know, I think that's something to be important to be aware of, that if they're finding that Lightroom is running slow, it's Lightroom CC or Lightroom Classic, and to check which one you're running on, and you should be running on Lightroom Classic.
Yeah, totally agree. Darren, there's another thing. If your computer is running small but low, you can also go into Lightroom. If you have Lightroom open, and you go up to File, that's up at the top of the screen, and you can click down. And then I think it's the second or third one down, you can optimize your catalog. And what that does is it kind of gives Lightroom kind of a bit of a reset, so it can get bogged down with running all these things in the background and so on and so forth. So optimizing your catalog, maybe even once a week, once every 2 weeks, will help it. It's like resetting your iPhone. We all have iPhones here, and whenever it does get bogged down once in a while, we kind of hold the home button and the power button at the same time, and it resets the phone. Lightroom, same type of thing, you know. So that's optimizing your catalog. Yes.
Dad, I just done that there while you were talking, and the message I got up was, your catalog was last optimized the 10th of August. At a certain time, it has been running slowly and haven't optimized it recently. Optimizing it again may improve your performance. So I never knew that.
Boom!
Do you appreciate me more? Yeah. Do you appreciate me more?
Valuable advice in the Irish Photography Saint Dodd. Podcast.
Saint Dodd.
Yeah, so there you go. That is, I do that at least once a week. Whether I need to do or not, I still do it, regardless. It's just like putting new oil in your car. You know, whether you need it or not, you just do it every 6 months. There's one more thing, right? And this is a biggie for me, right? So just bear with me now. We're going to get slightly bogged down here, right? So every time you view or edit raw images on the develop module, Lightroom generates an up-to-date, high-quality previews that uses the original image data as its foundation and then updates the preview for any process or adjustments that have been applied. The process is a little faster if the original image data is in the camera raw cache. Lightroom checks the cache for the original image data and can skip early stage processing if the image data is cached. By default, Lightroom sets the camera raw cache to 1 gig. Only 1 gig. That's nothing. If you increase the cache size, it can be store more image data, which turn speeds of the generation of previews of those images. Some Lightroom users find that increasing the camera raw cache to 20 gigs or more can dramatically speed performance in develop module. To increase the camera raw cache size, what you need to do is you need to go into your Lightroom, click Preferences.
Preferences. Yeah, Preferences.
Then
here we go.
A box will pop up, kind of. Do you see it? You're going to slide over to Performance.
Yep.
Okay, and then in that box, you'll see Camera Raw Cache Settings. That's because we went through this before, Jan. Anything above 20 gig is dramatically better. John has his set to 100 gig. Darren, I think you have the same.
Yes.
And I'm the same, 100 gigs. And how have your machines been running since we did that?
Much better.
Okay.
What's this purge? Okay. Purge cache. Yeah. Let's delete all the files in the cache.
I do that once in a blue moon. I wouldn't worry too much about that. But when I do change the gigs of the cache, I will purge it also at the same time.
Okay.
So let's That's just a few of my tips that would be to help speed up Lightroom. It can be a very beneficial tool for most photographers. I think it's the go-to thing to use. It's very cheap. Like, you know, it's only $12.50 a month on a plan where you get Lightroom and Photoshop. I mean, like, you go to the pub, you'll drink 2 pints, you'll spend about the same money. Well, if you're drinking in Dublin, that is. You know, so it's worth paying the money. You're not breaking the bank. And for the tools that you're going to get compared to some other free software, or, do you know, it's tenfold. Do you know, would you agree in that aspect, guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Well worth it. Can I just ask you a quick question there, Dad, before you move away from it? We know Lightroom is really, really good for workflow. And I've shot many images that I can copy and paste my settings, and it'll run through 100 images afterwards very, very quickly, and I can just adjust them if I need it afterwards. But is there many photographers that you know that would only edit in Photoshop and find that their workflow was a hell of a lot slower?
When I went to college, I used to pick the brain of every photographer I could possibly do. Like, you know, if I saw a guy walking down the street with a camera, I'd nearly pull him inside and just have a chat with him. And there was, it's funny you say that now, because there's only one person that I've ever known to only edit in Photoshop. And he was a wedding photographer also.
Right.
And it would take him to get through 1,500 photographs at least a month, just to get through the photographs. And then he'd have to start editing.
Yeah.
Do you know? It's ridiculous. Like,
Wow.
I wouldn't see the point of it. Like, you know, this is why we have Lightroom.
That's massive. Like,
this is why we use a damn digital asset management, is to be able to manage your files and store them, and being able to access them very quickly and edit them fast. And that's why I would have most of my images in the one catalog rather than having them in separate catalogs. That means that way I can access photographs at the click of a. Do you get that? That sounded cool.
You only learned how to do that yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
But you should. Do you ever edit on your landscape images in Photoshop?
I would edit the majority of my landscape photograph in Lightroom. Now, in saying that, now I would every now and again edit a copy of that in a program called Luminar from Skyline. I'm not getting into that today, guys. I'll leave that for another podcast. But not today. It's not as good as Lightroom.
There's it's no fake.
Way, shape, or form it's as good as Lightroom, but it's fun.
It's fake.
It's fun. It's not fake. It's
oh,
fun.
Sure. Look, I'll just add in some news. Rays of light that weren't there. But oh my
god.
Yeah,
no.
Oh,
but where? The reason I'm asking you that question is with regards to Photoshop, not the other software. Is there's people listening in who are wondering, will they edit an image better in photo, a landscape image better in Photoshop than they would in Lightroom?
Yeah,
you hear a lot of this, you hear a lot about the luminosity, the masking and all the layers and so on. Like, ultimately, although we don't use Photoshop for editing a landscape image, but at the end of the day, it might be slower, but is it a more powerful tool to edit?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Ruben Fields, I'm sure we all know who that guy is.
Yeah, he featured in an episode of my Internet Landscape Photographer Profiles, just like the pair of you guys.
I was just about to say that. Anyway, I'm...
Just pulling that plug out of the wall.
Ruben Fields, very, very talented Irish landscape photographer.
Yeah.
The guy is an absolute genius with all these luminosity masks and all this. But like, if you look up Sergio Ramelli, I know I'm saying it wrong, but he's another guy who's all these luminosity masks.
Yeah,
there's a few others out there. Raya Plus, is it?
Raya Pro, Jimmy McIntyre.
Raya Pro.
Hi guys, Jimmy McIntyre here. Download my Raya Pro today. It's on special offer.
So
that was our guest speaker for this week.
So we won't get bogged down in it, but yes, you can get a far better dramatic looking photograph by using Photoshop, but you have to be able to know how to do it. I certainly don't know how to do it. I'm sure you don't know, and Darren doesn't know. So I would actually consider the three of us more realistic landscape photographers. But what you see is what you get. But I'm not knocking Ruben in any way, shape, or form. I'm actually making him sound amazing, which he is. He is absolutely fantastic, and I would encourage people to go look at his work. But what he can do with a computer, I'm sure, is far better what I can do. You know, if that answers your question, I hope it does.
Yeah.
But do you know what we're gonna do, guys? We're not gonna get bogged down anymore about this. But I hope some of these tips and have been beneficial to our listeners. And we'd love to hear your thoughts in the Facebook group and see what you think about some of your tips maybe that you could pass on to us and so forth and to some of our other listeners. But that's it for now, guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break. I sound like something on TV. We're going to hear a special word from our sponsor, guys. Talk soon.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
And welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast. I still have my two buddies here with me, Darren and John. On our second topic today, guys, we are going to talk about drones and drone photography and even a small bit of video if we have a small bit of time. But we are running a bit over today because we had such a lengthy first topic on Lightroom, which I think was warranted because it's such a big thing in our industry. But moving on swiftly anyway, guys, drone photography has kind of revolutionized the whole photography scene. It's added different aspects to our photography and has pushed our imaginations and creativity to new boundaries. All three of us have drones. I have a DJI Mavic Air. Darren, you have a, what you have again?
Mavic Pro.
A Mavic Pro. And that's, it's funny that you say it, Mavic Pro, now because DJI have just released their whole new Mavic Zoom and Hasselblad thing, but we're not going to go into that today, maybe another time. And John, you are shooting with a DJI Phantom 4?
Phantom 4 Pro, yeah.
Oh, he's a pro. Yeah. Excellent. Guys, I love my drone. It's nimble, it's neat, it's tidy, and I can bring it absolutely anywhere, unlike my last drone, which is DJI Inspire, which I loved and hated at the same time. But Darren, I'd love to get your thought process on drones and drone photography as a whole.
Okay, well, I mean, look, it depends on where you want to start. You know, from a drone photography point of view, it gives you a complete and unique viewpoint that nobody else can have. And I mean that really sincerely. Even if somebody else has a drone, they will not be able to get exactly the same photo as you. Why? Because if they're there at the same time, you'll crash. So you've got, you know, a unique aspect of it there. When I first got, I mean, I've had a few drones now over the years. I first started off with the Phantom 1. Didn't have a camera on it, so I threw my GoPro on it, and I very quickly realized this wasn't good because I couldn't control anything. Then I got the Phantom 2, which had the built-in camera, and it seemed good. It was great, except I had a couple of issues with that particular drone itself, so I kind of parked it. I kind of fell out of love with drone photography after I had the issues. And then they launched the Mavic and the Mavic Pro, and I said, okay, yeah, this is for me. What it allows me to do is get a photo from a positioning that you don't normally see. The problem that I have with it is right now, and you just touched on the point there, and yeah, we can go into those other two new drones in time. No doubt, probably one of the two of you guys who suffer seriously with gas will end up with it anyway. But right now, I think the important thing for us is that we make sure that you know, we can get the photo that we want to be able to get, but the quality right now, I don't think is really there. And that's where I've got a fear from the potential that you could get from a shot. And I kind of encountered it myself a couple of occasions where I wanted to go and get a particular type of shot. I got the shot, but the quality wasn't there. So from a photography point of view, I think they've a lot to do from the sensors. I know that John's drone, the Phantom 4 Pro, has a very good sensor, has the 1-inch sensor, and you can get good quality photos from that. But it's a trade-off from a size point of view. So for photos, I do the odd panoramic shot, but I rarely take photos now because I just get disappointed when I look at the quality later when I bring them into the computer.
And Darren, like, do you keep yourself to landscape photography for drones again as well, or would you venture into the city to do some stuff?
No, never.
Just stick to landscape.
Well, primarily me for the drone is B-roll for my vlogs.
Okay.
So, you know.
And is that a handy tool then for?
It just brings a complete different dimension to it. Instead of being stuck on the ground, I can, you know, take a shot or take an aerial video footage to reveal the scene that's there. I can put me into the shot. I can use the tools that are there that it will track me if I'm walking or it'll go around me or whatever it may be. And I think it just brings another dimension to my video and to my my vlogs.
That's cool because, like, I feel that you have the drone for your vlogs only because I don't really see any pictures from your drone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fair. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, you know, because it is a very capable tool for video. And me, primarily, I use mine for video more than photography as well. John, you're the outlier here because you've got the big bad boy, the 4 Pro, which is much bigger than myself and Darren's drone. Photography, you'd be a person to use it more for photography than video.
Yeah, though. I'm the complete opposite to you, boys. I bought mine, I was waiting on getting the drone, as Darren knows, for a long time, and I waited for it to release the 1-inch image sensor on the Phantom 4 Pro because of 20 megapixel camera, purely because I wanted to take photographs from the air. I wasn't too interested in doing videos, although having said that, looking at the videos that you guys are producing from your drones, it's very inspiring. But I do predominantly have taken it out just to take photos for, and I have to say the quality of them, and I have got them printed quite big, has been outstanding for what I wanted. What I'm getting from a drone up that high has been fantastic. I am not, and I don't mind saying it, I am not a competent drone user. You know, okay. I do be nervous flying it, and that's purely because I don't use it enough. Yeah. I should be going out using it more, and it's like driving a car, like doing anything. The more you do something, the better you become at it, the more confident you become in yourself. So on that note, yes, I use it only for photographs. More in the rural area. I don't see myself in the near future flying it anywhere near a public area, or I can't fly it anyway where I live because I'm within too close to an airport. But yeah. I do bring it to rural parts of the landscape, and I love it. And I've got fantastic photographs of castles, ruins, cliff edges, like Darren said, that you just can't get from the land, basically. But the quality has been outstanding. But I do, you know what? As you guys were talking, I was Googling there just the images, and some of the stuff that you see, images taken from the sky, is just absolutely outstanding. And yeah. Just need to get out more, Dad.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it's a bummer for you that the fact that you're hindered by an airport. Now, I don't know what the rule is to how close you can fly to an airport, but I do know. It's funny that I know how close you can fly to a jail, but I don't know how close you can fly to an airport.
I think it's within 5 kilometres. Now, I stand corrected. I'm not up with the whole rules and regulations, other than I know I can fly it out where I go. Yeah. But, yeah, but you have
know,
to get permission.
Do you know why? Because I live close to a jail. That's why I know. No, you're actually only allowed 2 kilometres from a jail. And a buddy of mine, Jimmy Long, a bit of a plug for Jimmy, Long Range Media, absolute fantastic drone operator, fully insured, fully licensed. He's an absolute genius with drones. And man, you'd be drooling at what drones this guy has. He's absolutely phenomenal. He's got one of those big ass DJI Inspire 2, you know, with these massive camera on it. Yeah, I do drool every time he pulls it out of the box, you know. And he actually gave me a few tips there. Go on. No, I'm not gassing now. I have my Mavic Air, and I'm quite
gas.
Happy with that. I got rid of my Inspire for a small little drone, so I was happy with that. Sorry, John, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say one thing there before I forget. As much and all as the Phantom 4 Pro is a great drone for taking shots from the air, for photographs from the air, it is big. Now, and it does, I have gone off with you guys and I haven't had my drone with me because it is a bit big and bulky to bring me. Look, I have a great bag. I might do a VSP on it someday. You know, I could bring my camera back. I can bring the drone. I can bring the filters for the drone. I could bring my DSLR. I could bring 2 lenses. I could bring my tripod, but it is a bit of a weight. So yeah, look, it won't lie. Would I bring it off on an hour's track into the landscape? No. Not unless I knew I was really going to get something.
Yeah, you're dead right.
But actually, you know,
Jimmy was saying
Dad, just one interesting thing there that John mentioned is when I had the Phantom 2, I had a separate bag. So I had my camera bag and then I had a separate bag to bring around the Phantom. And it was actually a big commitment to be able to say, okay, where am I going? Should I bring it with me? You know, I'd bring it with me and maybe the conditions weren't right. And I'm saying, okay, no, it's not overly heavy, but it's just awkward. And I laughed. And you know I've laughed because I've laughed into your face about it, Dad, is when I saw you coming along with the Inspire. Because, I mean, you
suitcase.
Know, yeah, and I had the Mavic Pro and I just take it out of the pocket. And you yourself, actually, when we went out to shoot a couple of weeks ago, one of the things you stayed turned to me and said, would you believe, can you believe, I have a 4K drone in my pocket. And that's the thing. When you bring it with you, it's not heavy. It's not going to be awkward, but you have it there, bang, whenever you need it, rather than going, ah, damn, should have brought it with me today. And from my point of view, the benefit there of having the smaller drone, okay, it's a compromise, you know, compromise on images. I mean, look, it's 4K video and the video quality is superb and the range is 7.1 kilometers. So, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any issue in regards to that. But, you know, it's about having it with you that if you do need it, you can take the photo or you can take that video and you're not going to have any regrets,
Darren,
in relation to it.
The best camera I have is Darren, the one you have on you.
True story.
Darren, for someone like myself who likes to take photographs with it, how long am I going to be waiting, do you think, before I can take a 1-inch 20 megapixel sensor drone out of my pocket?
I wouldn't say too long at all. I mean, look, I think, again, they've only just released these two drones. I've done a bit of research, a bit of watching on YouTube and stuff like that on it. Some of the pictures that I've seen that are okay, but I don't really know how close. If you're saying you've got pictures taken from the Phantom 4 Pro, that's their flagship in the Phantom right now.
Yeah,
they're talking about bringing out a Phantom 5, but there's no way that they would put an equally good sensor in a more compact, smaller drone because it'll just cannibalize the sales. Why would you now go and buy a Phantom 4 Pro if you've got exactly the same image quality in a Mavic 2 Pro?
Yeah, that's why I was asking. That's why I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I don't know, is the honest answer. Yeah.
No.
Sorry, Dad, we cut across you there anyway. You were talking about your drone buddy.
No, yeah, so I was asking Jimmy what he think was the best camera or best drone for photography, and he swore blindly that the Phantom 4 Pro is probably one of the best for budget-wise, but for him, it would be definitely the DJI Inspire because he's interchangeable lens and he has an X5 camera on it, so the footage, it is phenomenal. You know, it is great. Yeah. But
Wait. Then if you ask somebody else like Peter Cox, what's the best one to take photos with? He'll tell you that he has, I think it's the DJI 5000, I think it is. But he's got a
the Matrice, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a Canon 5D Mark III hanging off the end of that. So there you go. I raise you that, you know.
Yeah, you're dead right. I totally agree with you. And it's something I didn't even think about. And I'm glad you brought that up. Do you know, there's a funny story Peter Cox told me about it, but I'm not going to get into it today. You might even Google it, maybe. You might find out. I don't know. But just to wrap this up, guys, okay, drone photography can really kind of push the boundaries, like I said at the start. It is fantastic, and I would encourage our listeners to maybe start, if you're interested in starting out in drones, maybe a DJI Spark is just a little bit too small. The sensor isn't fantastic, but the Mavic Air would be kind of your entry level kind of drone, and it's the one I have, and it's very capable and it's very easy to fly, you know, and you don't need a license to fly a drone. No matter who tells you what, do you know?
In Ireland,
thank you, Darren. You don't need a license to fly a drone in Ireland, okay? You don't need to register a drone unless it's over a kilo weight, okay? But it's good practice to register a drone whether it's under a kilo or over a kilo, regardless. We are limited to 400 feet, which is 120 meters, in a Class G area. But if you're in a Class C area, you're not allowed to fly over 50 feet, guys. You're breaking the law if you do. You know? And that's only 15 meters. 15 meters? Mm-hmm. That's not very high at all, like.
I'm in Class C nearly all the time.
Because I'd say it's even a different class than Class C, John, because if you're not allowed, like even when I try fly the drone anywhere close to Shannon, I have to press kind of a tick box to say that I know what I'm doing, that I'm close to an airport. So it's probably a different class again. You're not allowed to fly your drone past the line of sight. It is illegal you know, if you can't see your drone, then you're not fully responsible. Well, you are fully responsible. It's just you don't know what's going to hit it or what can happen. You always hear this online and on different podcasts and on YouTube that you're not allowed to fly over people. I just found out today that you are allowed to fly over people, but at a maximum of 12 people. And that's it baffled mad. Me because I thought it was just a generic world thing that you're not allowed to fly over anyone. But apparently, 12 people that you are allowed to fly over. And also, you get these farmers saying, oh, shoot that drone down by the snaky drone. Yeah. You know, but you can actually fly over someone's house. But there is a few kind of things. It's a very grey area, but you are allowed to fly over someone's house. I think it's something like you have to be 30 metres or something.
Yeah.
Jimmy was explaining it to me and I wasn't listening for 100%. My attention span just goes sometimes. you know me.
Interesting though.
Yeah. So Jimmy was saying to me to download an app called AirMap. AirMap. That'll tell you what class you're in, where you're allowed to fly and all that. And it's something that I should download myself. So I'm just going to wrap that up, guys, unless you want to stick in any last points before we move on to our next subject.
No, that sounds good. Nice one.
I would just add one thing, I suppose, really, is anybody thinking of getting a drone, just be responsible when you have the drone, because don't ruin it for anybody else. You can see situations now. I'm seeing stuff appearing online where guys are getting close to areas that they shouldn't be in, and it's because they think they can get the hero footage and everything else as well. All it takes is just one idiot to do something, and all of a sudden this legislation that we have right now that allows us to fly drones will very quickly turn into legislation like certain countries, even Iceland for argument's sake, you can't fly drones in the majority of the places that you want to go. Why? Because there's people there that are irresponsible when they have the drone. So if you are getting a drone, just think about other people. Be responsible. Don't ruin it for everybody. Have fun with it, but within the boundaries that you have of fair usage, you know.
Very good point, Aaron. All right, so guys, we're going to move swiftly along to our last thing in our show. It's called the VSP, which means for Very Solid Product. This week, a very solid product is a speed light for your camera. It's called the Yongnuo YN600 EXRT. Don't ask me what the EXRT stands for, because I have no bloody idea. Do any of you use speed lights?
Yeah, I do, but I'm just more impressed that you're able to pronounce it so well. I can never pronounce it, never mind spell it.
I'm half Chinese.
Yeah.
Darren, do you use speed lights?
No.
Why?
I can't shoot people. I don't do people. I shoot landscapes. And, you know, I think I've already said it in a couple of previous episodes, you know, that if there's anything happening in the family or the kids or anything like that, rather than me fluffing around and try, I have a flash. Actually, I don't. A buddy of mine has it for the last 8 months. Just like actually something else, I think that's something you're going to talk about in a moment, because, you know, another buddy there has another flash for around about a year and a half. But anyhow, I never use it. I don't know how to use it, really, even though it's not that complicated. I've no need for it, really, in the landscape. In a nutshell, no. The flash I use is that big orange thing up that hides behind the clouds in Ireland.
What's that? It's not sun, because we don't get any sun. Although, to be fair, we had a good summer this year for the first time since 1996. You know, so guys, the Yongnuo flash, right? It is it's a speed light that sits on top of your camera. Okay, Canon it's a knockoff of Canon. Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah. Okay, the Canon one is €350. This Yongnuo flash can be bought buying it on eBay or Amazon, because you cannot buy it in a distributor here in Ireland. So you do have to outsource to the UK or even China if you're willing to wait 4 weeks on a long boat. Okay, I'll get to the price for it in a while. So the guide number to the flash is 60 meters at ISO 100. I'm not going to get bogged down, guys, and tell you what everything actually is, but I'm just going to spurt out the things. Okay, so you have your zoomed in from 20 meters to 200 meters. It has an infrared assist beam, which is absolutely fantastic. You need that on a flash. And I have some other flashes. That's the one thing that it lacks. Some of them don't have an infrared beam. The recycle time can be 0.1 of a second to 3 seconds, depending on how powerful your flash is. So if you have it in full power, it's going to take 3 seconds to recycle. It takes 4 AA batteries, so if you do run out of flash, you can just run down to your local gas station or wherever, or Tesco, and you can get 4 batteries and bang, you're off, you go again. The charge is good for about 100 flashes to 1500 flashes, depending on how powerful it is. It is wireless then to 100 meters away. The tilt head will go from -7 degrees to 90 degrees, and it rotates 180 degrees. Now, the build quality of the flash is okay. It's not super duper. It is not blow you away kind of stuff. It's good for what you're paying for. The Canon one, like I said, is €350. So the build quality is slightly better. Not immensely better, but it is slightly better. You can trigger the flash then with a thing called a YNE3RT. So that's a special trigger that can sit in the hot shoe of your camera. So you can use it for off-camera flash also. Now, getting to the price point, okay, this is the winner chicken dinner for me. It's only €102 delivered to your door from the UK. Now, that's less than a third of the price of Canon. So I could buy 3 flashes for the price that you're getting 1 Canon for. Like, I don't see the point in paying €350 for something if you can get something as equal quality for a third of the price. Like, do you know, Would you buy a Canon? Well, John, I know you've bought a Canon one for €350.
Yeah, I bought it for a lot more than that a long time ago.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. And I have, like, it a while now. And sorry, Dad. Go ahead.
So I actually gave you a young new one, a loan one. And don't worry, I still remember it. You still have it. So I am getting it back at some stage. I don't know when. So
did you not get it in the post, no?
No, I did not. I'll invoice you for another one.
Bloody
okay.
Post.
And so the mystery is revealed of who that other person who borrowed something for about a year and a half is.
Yes.
Well, a year and a half, yeah, right. I'll jump in there. I have got the Canon D600 EX or whatever it's called, and yeah, it's a great flash. But then, Dodd, you did. You're right. You gave me a loan at the. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. The Yang Nua, and I did not notice a difference in them. Did I get it right? Did I?
No. Go on.
And I didn't notice a difference in them at all, but I did notice a difference in the feel of them, the build of them. Yeah, a little bit, I did. But the quality, not at all. And you're right.
There's no difference. There's no difference.
Why would you spend that much money on a flash when you can get the equivalent?
How much is the Canon?
It's
€350.
And at the time, I would have spent a lot more on mine. But what remains to be seen is down the line, which one lasts the longest? Maybe.
Oh, the Canon will last longest. Like, I have had 6 of these flashes. Now, I still currently have 5. I've broken one. But that broken one was my own fault. It fell off a stairwell and it just busted onto the ground. There was no saving it. Like,
you have 6. You have 6, Dad. John is minding one for you.
Yeah.
So, no, I have 4 here in front of me.
Ah, okay. So you were including the rogue one that's gone missing, yeah?
Yes. So it fell off the stairs and it busted on the ground, right? But I didn't throw it in the bin. I actually kept it because I dropped another one. And what I ended up doing is fixed it, putting both flashes together, and ended up making one workable flash gun. So happy days. You know, I'm looking at these two Egypts making face at me on the Skype and kind of laughing.
Oh, I was making face at him.
If I seemed a bit funny, it's these guys' fault. So, like, the price point for the flash is €102 delivered to the door. If you get it on Amazon, it's €106. So there's no real difference there. Well, there is €4 a difference, but
and nobody sells that directly in any of the Irish retailers.
None. You can't get them Whelan's, you can't get them in Conn's, Barker, whatever. You can't get them here. I think the reason why you can't get them here is because Yongnuo are kind of branded as knockoffs. Mm. They do knockoff lenses, knockoff flashes. Anything Canon brings out, Yongnuo seems to do a copy of it.
So they might have a Canon mirrorless before Canon.
Yeah.
Yongnuo mirrorless.
Might be something. Yeah.
That's how you pronounce it, John. Yongnuo.
He got it. Okay, so guys, I'm going to give this my score out of 10. I'm giving this a fabulous 7 out of 10. And this is my VSP for
very
this
good.
Week. It is, I'm knocking the two points for just general build quality. It could be absolute better. And the other point is I would have preferred a lithium ion battery just because they're more powerful and they're easier to charge and they're just cooler, I think. I think the way the world is going, I think everyone has a lithium ion battery nowadays, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, and one thing there, guys, is, you know, you've got the new Hainel Modus, which is phenomenal from the battery that's in that. I think that's something that I think would make that stand head and shoulders above everybody else. But yeah, from, I don't even use flashes, so I don't really know, but yeah. Good on you, 7 out of 10, not bad.
But you do give a very valid point there, Darren. Thanks, Millen. John, what are your overall thoughts? Are you happy with the Yongnuo?
Yep.
Yeah, I love
having
two of
them.
Having two of them. I have three now, including the Canon.
I love looking at it every day. God misses this so much.
And I have them up my shelf here, looking at them, and they're absolutely stunning. Goes very well beside the Canon. So I have three flashes now. Can't wait to keep them.
Lovely. When am I getting mine back?
Bye bye.
That's an awkward silence there. Fine. Okay, I've just realized that I'm not getting my flash back. All right, okay. Okay, what guys, flash? I'm going to wrap this up today, guys. Thanks a million for coming on and having an old chat with me and having a bit of a laugh like we do every week. So any last thoughts, guys?
No, thanks for a good podcast, Dad. That was very good. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, interesting topics, Dad. I hope the listeners, can get as much from it that we got as well. I learned a lot there from listening to you and to John. So yeah, good episode. Well done.
Thank you very much. Okay, I know it's a bit of a long episode, but there was a lot in it today, guys, and there was a lot of tips and tricks for everyone to get their Lightroom up and running to an acceptable speed. All right, so guys, we're going to tune out now, guys. Thanks a million for everyone for listening, and we hope to see you next week. Slong a fool.
Hey, that's my copyright. Get out of there. Good luck.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.